Good morning, everybody.
Happy Easter to each and every one of you. So glad that we could gather together this year for Easter celebration. He is risen. Let's pray together. Lord God Almighty, we celebrate you this Easter morning. We celebrate your power. We celebrate your victory. We celebrate your love. We are so thankful that you chose to intervene in our situation. We were stuck. We were lost. We were dead. Our sin had caused us to deserve eternal separation. But you intervened. You came as a man. You lived amongst us. You lived that perfect life. You taught the truth. And then you went to the cross. You willingly gave your life as a sacrifice of atonement for us. You took our place. And so we celebrate that fact that your crucifixion paid our debt. But Lord, you didn't stay dead. You rose up from the grave. You conquered both death and hell and Satan and all the forces of darkness. You rose victorious. And we celebrate that reality this Easter morning, that you are the living, conquering King. And you live right here, right now, with us forever. So we invite you, Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Spirit, to do an illumination of your word, to produce inside of us a response of faith, enabling us by your grace to have faith in you and what you've done, and that we would enter into an eternal relationship with you as your sons and as your daughters. Guide our time now. Silence the enemy now. Be glorified now, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I invite you to turn your scriptures to the account of the resurrection from the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 24. Chapter 24 of Luke reads this way. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. He went home marveling at what had happened. Think about that. The women ran to the tomb in the morning, expecting to find a body. They went willing to do a deed that many would not enjoy, a body that had been dead for now on the third day. They were going to put spices and wrap and do the things that should have been done, but because of the rush on Friday that weren't done. They went to serve Christ, expecting to find a body. And when there was no body, they were perplexed and confused. When the apostles were told the story by these women, they too were confused. They thought it was an idle tale. They didn't believe. Peter at least had the gumption to run to the tomb and look inside himself, recognize there is no body. And he too went home marveling. I take comfort in this. I know it's not the greatest display of faith that's being displayed here, but they doubted. They expected to find a body, a dead Jesus. And maybe you've doubted. Maybe you've experienced times of heartache. Maybe you've gone to a tomb with a heavy heart. Maybe you've expected to find a dead body or a killed dream or some heartache that's still lingering. See, I think the account of these early episodes on Easter morning reveal the real struggle of humanity. Every Easter, we come with things that didn't go the way we wanted them to go, crushed dreams, ruined expectations. We go out of obligation. We maybe go out of duty. We go out of wanting to honor God, but not really believing that God has some kind of miraculous resurrection that's occurred. And the story gets even better. Continuing on in Luke chapter 24, it reads this way in verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You read some of these texts over and over and over, years and years, celebrate Easter year after year. But for some reason, that simple line jumped out at me this year. They were talking. They were walking. What did Jesus do? It says, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. This is resurrection morning. This is Easter. I'm sure Jesus had a few things to do. He's the conquering king. He's got victory to declare to the universe. He's got the angels in heaven celebrating and throwing a party like you wouldn't believe. He's got the message to declare to the enemy of us all, Satan and all his demons. He's got others that he's concerned about. But here he is, Easter morning, two guys, sad, discouraged, walking away from Jerusalem where they thought there was going to be a great victory and revealing of the triumphant King Christ on earth, redeeming Israel. Instead, in their dejection, they're walking away. And what does Jesus do to sad, dejected men who are walking away? He joins them. He draws near to them. He walked beside them. I want you to picture Jesus, Easter morning, risen from the tomb, conquering death, all glorious, all powerful, and yet taking the time for two lost, hurting souls. See, I think sometimes you and I are like these people from Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus. We're like these two people who tried to be followers of Christ, who tried to have hope in him, who had expectations, and sometimes our expectations are crushed. We're confused, we're perplexed, we're wondering, what are you up to, God? What are you doing, God? What was your plan in this, God? Jesus drew near and walked with them. Now, I know that's not the usual text to focus on for Easter morning, but doesn't that grab you? God draws near to his hurting people. And God wants to draw near to you. It says, in continuing of that statement, after Jesus drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to him, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Jesus prompted their response. Jesus asked them questions. What are you talking about? What things were happening? What's your perspective? He gave them time to answer, time to explain, time to reveal the lostness of their hope. And then he says this. And I want you to see that this is a loving statement by Christ. You maybe don't want to be told something negative about yourselves, but Jesus said this to these men. He said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." What an event that must have been. Two dejected, sad men being ever so carefully, lovingly chastised for being foolish, for forgetting, for losing perspective, for losing sight of what God had already said and revealed. Jesus corrected. And aren't you glad he did that? Aren't you glad he took the time on Easter morning to walk beside two men and carefully point them back to God's word, to what had been already revealed? And do you think Jesus might be able to do that for you? In that part of your life, in that part of your life that a darkness has descended, in that part of your life where hope has been crushed, might Jesus come into that moment to realign your thoughts, to bring you back to a focus on God's truth, to let you see things from God's point of view? Maybe it's okay to be called foolish by Christ. If you think about it, this account must have been recited by these two men. They must be the ones that reveal that Jesus called us foolish. If they're willing to explain that to the others, maybe it wasn't such a deep insult as you might at first think. See, Jesus loves us enough to point out our foolish thoughts, our wayward thoughts, the places where we've been a little led off of what's true and right. I know I need him to correct me. I need him to say, "That's foolishness, Joel. That's not lined up with what's really the reality of this situation, Joel." I need Jesus to correct my thoughts. And he uses the word to do it. But it gets even better. Verse 28. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. Jesus acted as if he was going to go on further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus, and he vanished from their sight. Depicting a meal together is a depiction of a time of intimacy, a time of people being close together in relationship. Jesus on Easter morning, at the end of that day now, as they headed towards the evening, took the time to enter into their home, to sit and recline at the table to begin a meal with them. I longed for that. That type of encounter. That type of intimacy. That type of relationship where Jesus is with me. Where Jesus is with you. Where Jesus is taking the time to break bread and to explain the reality of his love. They recognized him and he vanished from their sight. And then they said to each other, verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. And then these two told what had happened to them on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Jesus spoke, revealed truth. Their hearts were burning within them, they said, as he explained the scriptures. That's why we spend so much time looking at the true Word of God. That's why even this morning, my words are few and the scripture being read is much. Because it's God's Word that reveals God's truth and points us to the reality of Christ. Jesus walked with them, talked with them, explained the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, that pointed to the Messiah. His arrival, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. I wonder what life was like for these two guys after this point. After Christ had awakened them to the reality of the scriptures and their pointing towards him. I wonder how much they consumed God's word and how they just kept going back again in their memories to that time. Remember when we were walking? Remember when we were talking? Remember when we had a personal audience with Christ teaching the scriptures to us? See, Resurrection Sunday is about Christ's victory. It's his victory over death. It's his victory over Satan. It's his victory over the grave. It's his victory over all sin. It's his victory over all the evilness of mankind. And it's his victory that purchases for us our victory. It's certainly all that. But this hit me so hard this year, that not only is it all that, this Easter day is Jesus taking the time to reach out to hurting, to confused people. And you and I can relate to that. If you are hurting, if you are perplexed, if you are wondering, if you are trying to figure things out, you're in the right spot for Christ to show up. Maybe our prayer ought to be, Lord, thank you for Easter. Produce another Easter event in me. Bring me into an encounter with you. Walk beside me. Enter into my situation. Explain truth to me by the power of your Holy Spirit. This account gets even better. It wasn't just some women in the early hours of the day at a tomb meeting a messenger of Christ, some angels. It wasn't just two guys walking along the road confused and saddened and Jesus showing up and then even having a meal with them. It wasn't just Peter, as they reference ever so briefly, having an appearance of Christ, an encounter with Christ. It gets even better. Verse 36. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them, and he said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Jesus appeared again, this time to the group, the gathering, the ones who were behind locked doors, who had heard accounts of him appearing, had heard about angel visions, had heard about the appearance of Peter, now had heard about the appearance to the two men on the road, and then Jesus was in their midst. But they were frightened. They were startled. They were still having trouble believing. But Christ came to solve the problem of disbelief. Christ opened their eyes. Christ enabled them to see. See, faith is a gift from God. It's God's grace that comes upon us, that enables us to see and to believe. It's not something we work up on our own. So if you have doubts, if you have concerns, if there's parts of your life where you've got anxiety, you can recognize that that's a human trait. And Christ came to speak truth into that area. You need a gift from God. You don't try harder. You don't try to earn your way out of that doubt. You simply receive an encounter with Christ. These people didn't believe until Christ showed up. And you're not going to believe until Christ shows up. But let me tell you, friends, Christ intends to show up. Christ intends to show up in your life, in your areas of doubt. Christ intends to show up. Christ tells this group of followers, "I'm here. I'm fulfilling Scripture. The prophets, the law of Moses, the writings, the Psalms, all of it points to me. I give you now Holy Spirit illumination so you can see it, so you can receive it. So that you would recognize that the Scriptures talk about Christ needing to suffer, needing to die, but rising from the dead. And from that event, world-changing, universe-changing event of his death and his resurrection, now repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all peoples." I really believe that God wants you to have a fresh encounter with him. See, believing in Easter as a historical event is good. But even better is having an encounter with Christ so that Easter becomes a present reality. The ancient creed-like response of saying, "He is risen," and the response being, "He is risen indeed," is interesting in that it's a present tense statement. We didn't say he was risen or he has risen. That would have been true. But even truer is the reality that he is risen. He is risen right now in this present reality. He is alive. He is here. And he's walking beside you and me, speaking truth, illuminating Scripture, enabling faith to be received as a gift, and then as a response back to God. Christ has that for you this Easter by the power of his Spirit, the promise of the Father. The verse we read as a call to worship was written by this disciple named Peter, who ran to that empty tomb, who was amazed, went home wondering, but then who had a personal encounter with Christ that very day. Peter wrote these amazing words in his first letter: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, never fade, an inheritance that's kept in heaven for you. That's what God has for you and for me this Easter. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come in power. Come and enable us to respond in faith. Give us that gift of faith by your grace. Jesus, thank you for appearing to these different people on this resurrection morning. Thank you for taking the time to walk beside two sad men. Thank you that that revealed not just your victory, but your heart of love for your people. Lord, there are times when we are saddened, when we're perplexed, when we're confused. We invite you to come into those moments. Produce inside us something that we cannot produce for ourselves. Produce inside us faith in you, trust in you. We believe you did rise from the dead, and we believe that you are alive right now. Come by your Spirit to each one of our hearts. Come and rescue. Come and encourage. Come and empower us to now see ourselves as ones who boldly walk forward from this day as your witnesses to all nations for your glory. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.